Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 134. Psalm 134. It's a real long psalm, as you can see. A whole three verses. Maybe that's why Barry didn't know what to say about this psalm. Because it is, well, it's pretty short. And you're all thinking, wow, we're going to have a short sermon. Well, you never know about short passages. They're a bit dangerous. And so we come to God's word to hear him speak to us, his people. And again, this is one of the Song of Ascents. We see the Song of Ascents begin in chapter or Psalm 120, and this is the conclusion of this section of the Song of Ascents. And so let us hear the word of God. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. This is God's word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Father, thankful for your word before us. And may your word by your Spirit create in us a deeper hunger to praise the Lord, to bless your name, and to live for your glory. Oh, help us, Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 134 has been called the homecoming psalm. Why would that be? Why would it be called the homecoming song? Well, it's the conclusion of the Song of Ascents, or the Songs of Ascents. And the Songs of Ascents begin in Psalm 120. But they culminate here. And where is that exactly? Where is this song being sung? In what street or what place? Well, these ministers, right? You hear these people lifting up holy hands. This is in the temple. This is in Jerusalem. This is the place where God dwells, on Zion. And so this is during a season of great feasting and celebration, like the Passover, or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Day of Atonement. This is a time of great feasting, and they have reached their destination. That's why it's a homecoming song, psalm. They've reached their destination. And especially when you go to Psalm 120, the beginning of the Psalm of Ascents, you hear the psalmist cry out, I will call on the Lord in my distress. And he answers me, save me, O Lord, from lying lips, from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you? And what more besides, O deceitful tongues? He will punish you with the warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. That's where the Psalm of Ascents begins, in the midst of hostility and conflict and danger. But when you get to 134, it's all praise, isn't it? It's all gravy when you get to the end of the Psalms of Ascents. And you're with God's people thronging about on the temple and shouting and singing and celebrating and dancing. Oh, yes, they do a lot of dancing. That's right. A lot of movement with their mouths, with their bodies, with their hands lifted high. That's what makes this psalm special. It's a celebratory psalm. A psalm that's meant to drive out any of the distractions and just sing it again and again and again and again and again and again. So you just focus on God, on blessing the Lord, on praising his name. And this word of praise that you see in this psalm, it is interesting because most of the time when the word praise is translated from the Hebrew word, it's hallelujah, which we get the word hallelujah. The Lord be praised. But here it's the word bless. actually. Now, it can be translated praise, but it's usually translated bless, and that's why all the many other translations, the majority in English, translate it bless. But the lexicon says you can translate it praise the Lord or God. And I mention that because translators have a difficult job of taking words that can mean very similar things and then putting them in our Bible. And I think the NIV does a great job because there's not a lot of difference really between the word praise and the word bless actually in Scripture. They're quite close. They are celebratory, aren't they? I want to bless the Lord. I want to praise the Lord. Well, maybe I should just say, I want to give my whole being to God. I want to give my best to the Lord. And that's what the pilgrims are experiencing in this psalm. They want to give their best. You know, I can imagine kids, and I'm going to talk to you children, when families would come to Jerusalem after a long journey, a dangerous journey, with lots of places where bandits could be hiding out to attack you and your family, your caravan. But now you're in Jerusalem. And of course, you might be coming up to Jerusalem from Jericho up the steep way. And of course, when you come to Jerusalem, what would you want to see? Kids, what would you want to see? What would little kids want to see 3,000 years ago? Well, they would want to see the temple, wouldn't they? And they would know it's evening time because you see that in the psalm. It's evening time. You know what happens in the evening, don't you? At the temple, oh, the priest bless the people of Israel, don't they? So you could almost see the kids just trying to push mom and dad towards the temple because they're at their destination. It's time to see the torches and the flames and the singers and all the regalia. It's Christmas. Really, that's what this psalm is. The great feasts of Israel were Christmas times, times of great expectation. And you know, kids, do you like Christmas? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Well, you would have loved it to be on the streets of Jerusalem with all the people moving about and singing and shouting. You could hear the temple in the distance, and it grows louder and louder and louder as you come near. You've reached your destination. You're where you're supposed to be so that you can bless the Lord, that you too can lift up your voice. Not just kids, though. Older guys like me. In fact, all of us. We might not be in Jerusalem, but we know who reigns from the heavenly Jerusalem, don't we? We know who's upon that throne. We know that there's a temple in heaven. Ought we not to bless the Lord? Ought we not to praise the Lord? When you look at the language of the psalm, especially the servants, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord, this is clearly speaking about the evening praise that you see in God's word. First Chronicles 23 says it like this, verse 30. They were also to stand, this is the Levites, stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. And they were to do the same in the evening. Always at the same time. So if the kids were running through the streets of Jerusalem, they knew exactly when the blessing would happen. That time it would happen. You see that here in Chronicles. Isaiah 30, 29 speaks of the night. And you will sing as on the night you celebrate a holy festival. Your hearts will rejoice as when people go up with flutes to the mountain of the Lord. That's Zion. The mountain of the Lord is Zion. That's where God dwells. To the rock of Israel. What is Isaiah saying? The rock of Israel. The strength of Israel is God Almighty, who dwells amongst us. Remember, in ancient Israel, the Holy of Holies was the place where God dwelt with his people. How does God dwell with us, O saints? Does he dwell with us? He does. Is it in Zion? Well, the Zion of heaven, yes. But where else does he dwell? Speak it loudly. In our hearts, praise the Lord, right? Bless the Lord. He dwells in me. He dwells in me in the power of the Spirit. I'm his tabernacle. We are his tabernacle. Praise the Lord. I'm reminded of a story of a little boy. His name was Samuel. Maybe you remember him. Well, Samuel would spend some time in the tabernacle at night. In fact, the priest at that time, Eli, and Samuel would sleep in the tabernacle where the menorah and the showbread and the altar of incenses, the holy place, not the most holy place. That could only be entered once a year on the Day of Atonement. But you pick up this story. It's a fascinating story. And kids, I want you to imagine your Samuel. The boy ministered before the Lord under Eli in those days. The word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was just beyond the curtain, the most holy place on the planet. And what does God do? Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here am I." I referenced that story because you see, the priests were there in the night as well, and in the morning. And actually, God visited Samuel. And I love what the text said, that God had been silent, but he was no longer. And where did he reveal his voice? It's so important. In the tabernacle, in the temple, in the most holy place on the planet, to a boy named Samuel who would become the great prophet and judge and who would anoint the first two kings of Israel, Saul, and of course the great man, King David. King David. I wonder if some of these stories went through the minds of children as they came to the temple. Do you remember Samuel? Yeah, he used to live in the temple. Yeah, that would have been pretty neat. That would have been wonderful. Again, we need to come to the Word like little children, don't we? We need to hear this is his voice speaking to me, not just someone else, but to me. And friends, how often have you not been able to sleep at night? And there's that times at night you get up and you pace the floor or you go outside and it's so quiet. And it can be in those moments that you're so near God, that God shows up and you just pray the night until you have to go to bed. God does some wonderful work at night, doesn't he? He does some wondrous work at night in the hearts of his people. We see that in God's word. We see that in the history of the church. And many of us can confess right here in this room, we've experienced that in our own lives. And God tonight wants us to be like the psalmist, delighting in the house of the Lord. Isn't that what he's doing? He's delighting in the house of the Lord. All you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Remember, we began the worship service with what? With David delighting in the house of God. You might remember that right there in Psalm 27, verse 4. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple." That delight. In fact, when we bless the Lord, when we praise the Lord, isn't this a way God uses to delight our hearts? Right? The more you bless the Lord, the more you praise the Lord, the more your heart delights in the Lord. A And that's why we need that, as this coming from the morning to the evening, that time to abide in Christ. Maybe it's tonight that you'll be sleepless, but you will be delighting in talking with your Heavenly Father, delighting in the knowledge that Jesus is interceding for you, delighting in the reality that God is near me, He's in me. And you say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, bless the Lord." I mean, this psalm is a happy psalm. We've had some very unhappy psalms, but this psalm, you just can't help but smile. The more you hear it, the more the joy wells up in your soul. And in fact, what we see here, that it appears it might be singers that are speaking. They're singing to the Levitical priesthood. They're saying, "Praise the Lord, bless the Lord, oh you servants, oh you Levites of the Lord, oh you ministers by night," or "oh those who stand." That language often is stand. Even these words are often not minister, but stand. They're, well, what are they doing as they're standing? As they're lifting up hands in the sanctuary, what are the priests doing? They're praying. This is one of the great postures in the ancient world, was to stand and to praise. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, one of the most normative ways of prayer is standing. Many Orthodox churches don't even have pews, so they're standing the whole service. But they stand. And this raising up of hands, well, we see that even the Apostle Paul talks about that. Holy men holding up holy hands. What are they doing? They are praying. And it appears that God made certain, not only in the morning will my men pray, but it'll be in the evening at night. Morning and night, they pray. Why do we gather morning and evening as a church? Where does that precedence come from? Merely tradition? Absolutely not. It actually comes from the Word of God. Again and again, you see the morning and the evening sacrifice. And then thinking about the evening prayer, we look at a couple psalms. Psalm 63, verse 4. "I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands." I have to say, the Old Covenant brothers and sister were pretty active in raising up their hands. A lot of movement going on. "I'll lift up my hands. As long as I live, I'll pray. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Your name will be upon my lips. I will bless you, O Lord. I will bless you, O God of all creation." And then Psalm 141, verse 2, "May my prayer be set before you like incense." That it will smell, it'll be a glorious aroma to you. "May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." Isn't that interesting? As the evening sacrifice goes up to God, a pleasing aroma, may my prayers go up to heaven and may they please you. May what I pray for please you. May my blessings and my praises and my thanksgiving praise you. Isn't that what the psalmist is saying? In Psalm 141, 42. To lift up our hands. You know, I look at the snow falling. You know, there's something about the snow when it falls, it's so quiet. It's a great time to get on the trail, even with my bum knee, to go in the snow and to walk and to pray. Maybe not with holy hands lifted up, because I'll probably trip over myself. But to be on the trail. Even in the darkness, the snow illuminates, doesn't it, the woods? Just to be with God. Isn't that the destination in the end? It's not a place. It's God Himself. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in whom I am baptized into. He is the destination of all my praise, of all my thanks, of all my joy. And how long will that joy be? How long will our praying be and our singing? Eternal. Forever and ever and ever. And what I love about this short psalm is verse 3 says something quite interesting. It's almost, there's a change. There's the singers speaking to the Levites, and all of a sudden it appears that the Levites are singing to the singers, and by his Holy Spirit singing to me. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. God is speaking to you. May he bless you. I love that turn. O Levites, O priest, praise the Lord, bless the Lord. And then the Levites go, and the Lord bless you. And the Lord bless you. And I love what they say here so clearly. Maker of heaven and earth is blessing you. The one who made all things from nothing, the all-powerful one, blesses you. And if he blesses you, are you blessed? If God Almighty, creator of all things, blesses you, are you blessed? You would say, hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Because he has blessed you, hasn't he? He's blessed you so richly. You sit there with the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. You have all the promises from God in your hand with the Bible, or the Bible in your pew, the Bible in front of me. We've been so richly blessed. And in fact, we see of that blessing from the heavenly Zion when we read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. You hear the blessing now. To the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousand upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of the right of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling of blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Brothers and sisters, that's blessing, isn't it? Blessing from God. And that we have come. That repetition from God's word to remind us, you belong to me. You are my treasure. You are my possession. I spilt my blood for you. I rose from the dead for you. And I want to bless you for all eternity. I want to bless you for all eternity. Are we blessed? Oh my, we're blessed. Hallelujah, brother. Yeah, we're getting into Jewish spirit there. That's good. I want to end on the island of Patmos with Brother John. Not able to get off the island. He's a little bit what we call incarcerated because of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus shows up on that island. And we've picked that up in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? The Lord's day. Which day is that? Well, the day we've gathered. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." What's interesting about this text is there's seven golden lampstands illuminating Jesus. Jesus in apocalyptic vision, of course, but it's Jesus with John on the island. He's not by himself. Even though he's far away from Jerusalem, even though he's far away from Christ's church, he's not far away from Jesus, is he? And even on the island of Patmos, he can still bless the Lord, because the one who dwells in the Zion in heaven, in which all blessings flow, came to him, because this is a vision of the temple in heaven. This is definitely a vision of the temple in heaven. And Jesus comes to John, a long ways away from any comfort, to comfort his son. Isn't that what he's done for us? He has come to us. He has made us his own. And no matter if you're on the island of Patmos or right here gathered at Second Christian Reformed Church, he is with us. He is blessing us. And so may you go out of these doors blessing and praising the Lord with hands lifted high, seeking to spend time with him, and maybe going for a little walk in the snow and giving him thanks. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, how good it is to come to talk with you, knowing that we are your beloved family, bought and paid for in the blood of Jesus. May our hearts overflow with joy and thanksgiving this week. May we see the blessedness of Almighty God, and may we bless you again and again. But also may we hear that you have blessed us. May that ring in our hearts as you strum the chords of our hearts this week. For your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.